Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Welcome to Spirit of Adoption Radio, where we soar above all the darkness of this world and see things in the light of God's eternal perspective. Now, here's your hosts, Kevin and Tabitha Lavelle.
Like a soldier with no armor, in the middle of the battle, I was broken. I was broken. It was only getting darker in the valley of the shadow. I was hopeless. I was hopeless. I never thought that I would ever see the day when every single chain would break.
Hey everybody, shalom. We're so thankful and blessed that you would choose to join us today for episode number 172 of Spirit of Adoption Radio. I'm Kevin. With me as always is my dear wife Tabitha. How are you today, Sophia?
I'm blessed. Blessed to be a soldier of the Lord.
Amen. Everything changes when Christ comes in.
Yes.
Everything.
Wow.
Amen?
Yes. So
no matter where you are, no matter what trouble you're in, no matter what sin had you in bondage, everything changes when Christ comes.
Yeah. Wow. This song is so amazing because as this song was playing, I've heard this song before, but as I was sitting here just playing this little part of it for the intro, where he talks about he was a soldier with no armor on.
Yeah.
I am reminded of a vision that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I had this vision at one point in my walk with the Lord where I was sort of at a point, this is before we were married, it was in my earlier years with the Lord, I was struggling and I was like holding on to the Lord with just a thread. You know, that's how I felt in my walk with the Lord because I was so new and I was being drawn away by some temptations and just, I was in this whole massive funk, for lack of a better word, spiritually.
Yeah.
And God,
you were in warfare.
I was in warfare.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit was still in me.
That's right.
And he showed me what I was doing and where I was headed. And basically, I was in civilian clothes and I knew that I was supposed to be fully armed with the armor of God and dressed as a soldier, but I was in my civilian clothes and the soldiers, which were you and another brother next to you, because we were in a ministry, we were ministry partners together on a ministry team. We were just friends at this time.
Yeah.
And so I had this vision. It was a vision from God. And I've only had a couple of these in my whole life, but it was so profound. And the Lord showed me that I was in civilian clothes. And I knew that in the dream that I was supposed to be clothed in the military clothing.
Right.
Like,
it because you're
like,
enlisted as a soldier.
Yes.
Right.
And I wasn't. I was in civilian clothes. And I felt in the dream, I just felt so ashamed that I was in these civilian clothes when I was supposed to be
soldiering,
a soldier, and I was supposed to have this Navy outfit on or you know, Army
military,
type of military uniform like you guys had on. And you guys were supernaturally taller and faster and stronger than I was. I felt so weak and so small and tiny. And as I was crossing a street, it was like I was crossing a street. I was in my own strength and you guys went past me. me with superhuman, supernatural speed. You went past me because God was giving you these special abilities in the spirit of the Lord that I was not having because I was not right with the Lord at this time. And the Lord was like trying to get my attention and to show me that I needed his power. I needed his strength, that I was nothing without him.
Yeah, and he needed to be in the battle.
Yes, and I needed to be in the battle, clothed in the armor of the Lord.
Right,
and
like Paul says that we are to please the one who enlisted us as a soldier and not be entangled in civilian affairs.
Right, exactly.
Right, he wrote that to Timothy.
Yes, and it just inspires me and encourages me right now, as I think about it. Like, you know, as we walk around this earth, we can't be entangled in just in our civilian clothes, entangled in the affairs of this world. We have to remember that we are enlisted as soldiers.
That's right.
And that we need to have that armor on at all times. And, you know, the Lord used that vision to convict me and to get me right back on track with him, where I needed to be. And I just thank God for his mercy, you know.
Yeah.
Then Christ came, he gave me that vision and, you know, opened my eyes to some things that I needed to really just pay attention to.
Amen. And on today's show, we want to talk about war. Speaking of that.
Yes.
Right. And like the old song, I was listening to it today. It says, "War, what is it good for?" Right. Remember that song? It's like from the 60s.
I think so. It's old. Yeah.
War. Huh. What is it good for?
Yeah.
And it says, absolutely nothing. And it says, war. It says, good God, good Lord, what is it good for? Right. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Is it good for anything? What is it good for? He had the song kind of right. He said, good God. He is a good God.
Yes.
Good God. Good Lord. War, what is it good for? And so that's a good question, I think, actually.
Yeah.
You know, so we hear a lot about war these days, right now.
Yeah.
And the Lord told us that one of the signs we're getting closer to the end is wars and rumors of wars. Are we seeing that intensify? For sure.
Definitely.
Right? And there's very real physical wars happening right now as we speak.
Yes, definitely.
All over the world.
All over.
And really, you know, where do wars start? The scripture says they start from your own selfish desires. That's where wars start.
Yeah.
Okay. And so wars actually are a result of man's being not right with God.
Yeah.
You know, that's where wars are from.
Right.
If everyone was not at war with God in their personal lives,
there would be no war. Yeah.
There'd be no war.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
So we see and hear these wars going on in the world, right? And for most of us, we see and hear about these things, these wars from the outside looking in, right?
Yeah.
But we need to be reminded that none of us are really on the outside of war. We're all inside of a very real active war going on right now. It is wartime.
Right.
You know, when I was, and when we were held captive by the enemy to do his will, we had no awareness of the war, the very real war that we were in.
Right.
For our souls.
No.
We were captives.
Didn't.
We were blind.
We didn't have any care about it.
So that's the bigger war.
Yeah.
So we are in a war. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right?
No.
We're in a war. Very real. We experienced it the other night, in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we did.
You know, we're not in Gaza. We don't live in Gaza, but we're experiencing a war right in our bedroom.
Yeah.
Very real war, right?
Kevin woke up in the middle of the night and he had to wake me because he was having a battle.
Two are better than one.
Yeah, he was having a battle that he needed help reinforcement in prayer. And this has been throughout our entire marriage. Sometimes the Lord will wake us up to pray together. Sometimes he'll wake us up to sing together.
Right.
You know,
fight against each other when I said, but
no.
Wake us up to fight against the enemy together.
And it was like immediately when you woke me up, honey, I felt the presence that was the, like, I don't know if it was like a darkness that was trying to come and distract us or something, or come against us, you know? And I just felt that. And we were like, okay, we're going to unify in prayer against
this. It's
like
an ambush.
It was like an ambush. Yeah. Cause right? we both felt the same thing, even though we're two totally different people and we're in the same room, but we felt spiritually this darkness that was trying to encroach upon us.
Right. But the good thing is, if the Lord is on your side, if God is for you, who can be against you?
Right.
So we got up, we united in Christ, and by the power of Jesus Christ, drove them back.
Amen.
And he's with us.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to remember that, and we need to stay in the fight, you know, just like the vision that God gave you. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like you were out of the fight for a little while. And I think the enemy does that with all of us, tries to lure us out of the fight, get us in kickback mode.
Yeah.
And we need to stay in the fight.
Yes.
It's a fight. Mm. It's like, it's a boxing match. You know?
Yeah.
And we need to never throw in the towel.
That's right.
We cannot throw in the towel.
No.
You know, it's not like a Rocky movie or something, you know, where they, you know, you throw in the towel to stop the fight. We don't throw in the towel.
No.
In the Lord. We can't do that.
No.
Okay. This is eternal here.
Yeah.
Right? This is real. And we need to stay in the fight. And as long as we stay in the fight, we're going to win.
That's right.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Keep fighting in Jesus' name. Continuing to fight the good fight of faith, right? Continuing to wage the good warfare.
Yes.
And the Bible says so much about continuing. Mm. Acts 14:21-22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Continue to fight the good fight of faith. Mm. Continue to wage the good warfare.
Amen.
Romans 2:6-9. God will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek.
Mm.
Through patient continuance in doing good.
Amen.
And that's kind of like what you're talking about the other night. We had to patiently continue in that good fight, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's even like today, Faith and I were doing a workout together. We've been doing these little workouts together. Mm. And the workout was hard today for her because she was sore. She was really sore. And she hasn't done a lot of working out in the past. So, I mean, it's she's done a lot of running and cardio, but not like lifting and stuff like that. So she was very sore and she could hardly continue the workout. And I told her today, I was like, well, honey, just do something, modify the exercise, do something like deadlifts or something you can do, just because we want to finish this together. You know, we want to get this to the finish line. We don't want to give up and throw in the towel, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, and she felt good that she finished it, even though it wasn't like exactly the same thing she was supposed to be doing, like the video, whatever.
Sorry.
But it was, you know, it was something that she finished. She was able to finish. And I was trying to just encourage her to continue, you know?
Right. Amen.
Don't give up.
As a soldier.
Yes.
That's what soldiers do. Amen.
That's right. It's a good
thing.
Hey,
we can change that lift from a deadlift to a life lift.
Hey, amen. Life lift.
Because it's really giving life, right?
Hey, it is. It's bringing life back to your muscles.
That's right. Amen. Life lifts. Okay. Then Colossians 1:21-23. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Mm. See? If, conditional, you continue in the faith.
Yes.
There needs to be a continuance. It's so important.
Yes, it is.
As soldiers in the war.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Mm.
So if you don't continue to examine yourself and make sure that you're abiding and walking holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He says, be holy as I'm holy. That means separate for him, living for him, right? If you don't continue to examine yourself and continue to make sure that you're obeying the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of the Lord, then are you going to be saved?
No.
No. How about those who hear you?
Nope.
No.
Nobody's going to hear anything of value coming from you.
One, for yourself, if you don't continue, then you're going to depart from the Lord.
Yeah.
You're going to drift away. There's no salvation in that.
No.
So we need to continue.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
Continue in the faith.
Why does right? it say continue so much if it's not supposed to be done? You
That's
know?
Right. Amen. So we need to continue fighting. And Paul says, we don't fight. He wrote to the Corinthians, we don't fight as those boxing the air.
Right. No.
We don't box the air. Okay. That's like shadow boxing, you know, and mm-hmm. Paul uses that example of fighting the wind, you know, boxing against the wind. We don't fight that way.
No.
Okay. Ours is a real, it's a real fight. So we can't start playing around in this life as Christians.
That's right.
And forget that we're in a fight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And think we're just boxing the wind.
No.
No. We have very real enemies.
That's right.
It's a very real war, very real enemies. And these are all such important things because there are those that we have known in the Lord, respected in the Lord,
yeah.
that didn't stay in the fight, didn't keep their hands to the plow, and maybe started looking around at other things, right?
Yeah.
And got entangled in civilian affairs. They stopped walking in one way or another. And then you hear these scandals.
Mm.
You hear that they fell
right.
away. They fell into gross sin, you know, so they become casualties of war.
Right.
If you think about that.
Mm.
And it's due to a lack of sobriety as a soldier in the war.
Yeah.
We must not take our footing for granted and get ourselves in slippery places.
Mm. Yeah.
Be careful, little feet, where you go. Isn't that, yeah. that's like a children's song, you know, mm-hmm. be careful little feet where you go, right?
Yes.
For your Father up above, he is looking down in love. Be careful little feet where you go. Speaking of that, we take walks here yeah. on our property
mm-hmm.
and this is just an example, but, there's one on our driveway, on our road, as you go down the one side of the dam, there's some slippery areas and you and I will be walking down there. And there's times where we're walking. It's probably more than once. You've probably heard me warn you many times when we walk down that part, right?
Yeah.
And Tabitha will be looking at her phone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
While we're walking down and we're walking down this one hill part where there's slippery rocks. And every time I warn her,
yep.
be careful, don't slip right here. Be careful of your footing. Walk carefully. And that's what scripture says.
Yeah.
Walk circumspectly in this world, carefully, right? The enemy is called a fowler. Mm. He sets traps.
Yep.
You know, it's what he does. And so you and I walk down that thing and I always warn you, be careful, you know, don't lean back, you know, stop looking at your phone. Let's be sober walking down this hill, you know, yeah. pay attention, right?
Yes.
Be careful of how you're walking. Don't slip. You know,
yeah.
that's an example, right?
Oh yeah. And I'm thankful for those reminders, but
you probably would have slipped by now.
Oh yeah. I don't know where I would be without you, honey, because you warn me of so many things all the time. And coming from Kevin, his mom is like OSHA and we love you, mom. But Kevin got this Amen. Character trait from his mom.
Hold on 1 second. Let me kill a mosquito.
Wow, did you all hear that?
Yeah, in Jesus' name, that's what we can do to
that's
the enemy.
That's the big bang theory right there.
Resist him.
Bang.
Resist him.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So
not only
ahead.
Resist, but
yeah.
okay,
you were
so
about mom.
Kevin's mom is yeah. precious and I just love
yeah.
her.
She's love you, mom.
Such a blessing. But she Kevin inherited this trait from his mom that is like he has to be safety, protection of everything. Like if he sees a cup that's getting near the edge of a table, he's like seeing the cup fall to the ground. So he has to go and save it. And, you know, like, OSHA, like every kind of thing. I mean, he's very conscientious about germs. How old is that food in the refrigerator? I want to make sure it doesn't have any mold. Is this still good for me to eat? Is there anything that's a contaminant on this
fork?
We
probably would have been dead that by I'm going to eat if the Lord hadn't given me that trait.
Right. So I'm thankful, you know, I'm thankful for that characteristic given down, passed down to Kevin through his mom. And, you know, I won't let it annoy me.
Amen.
I'll be thankful.
I'm glad you like that, dear. I'll keep it up.
Keep it up.
So stay sober, right?
Yes.
Stay vigilant. Continue fighting. And the other thing, I think about these things because, you know, with all the war going on in the world, and since we're so connected to Israel, something that we, in our war, in our fight that we're in spiritually, we need to make sure we never agree to a ceasefire in the war against sin and the devil.
We can
never agree to a ceasefire.
That's right. Never.
This isn't something we can ever do in our war.
Amen.
What happens the minute you do that?
The minute you do that, it's like, I think the enemy can start planting thoughts in your head. And I think you can start to just become casual. The end effect is becoming a casualty.
Yeah.
They want you to get a little casual and end up turning you into a casualty.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good way for us to remember that. I'm going to remember that. Thank you for sharing that, dear. Because, you know, casualties of war in our fight against the enemy come from us ceasing to fight.
Yes.
You cease to fight, you become a casualty.
Amen.
And I think of David, King David with Bathsheba. They went out to war. He stayed back in the palace.
Yeah.
What did he become?
Casualty of war.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did the enemy say, oh, I'll just give him a little break?
No, he became a little casual with his eyes.
A little bit?
You know, more than a little bit. Completely. With his eyes looking where he wasn't supposed to be looking, entertaining thoughts he wasn't supposed to be thinking, and then turning it into action and then become a murderer.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah, went from adultery to murder.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
So that is the example there we have in the Word of God of, like you said, casual to casualty.
Yeah.
That's so true. Mm. But thankfully, the Lord can and is willing to take your defeat to the enemy and turn it into a victory in Jesus, right?
Amen.
If you'll turn to him with all your heart, like David is called a man after God's own heart. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
He turned his heart to the Lord.
And he was even someone who committed murder
and
adultery and all the things, you know?
He was called out on it and he could have took Nathan's head off. But he didn't.
And God forgave him.
He, instead of taking Nathan's head off, he put his head to the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And the Lord forgave him and cleansed him and washed him and, you know, continued working. And, you know, from him came the Messiah.
And I think it's just the key that what you said there, if you'll turn to him with all your heart.
Yeah.
If you don't have to, you know, you don't have to turn to him with all your heart, but if you don't, you'll remain in your sins. You know, but if you do, you'll be forgiven and cleansed and washed. And, you know, I know David was so thankful to be washed from all the things that he had done.
Yeah. Psalm 51.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
Right.
Amen. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is doing this very thing in the midst of the war in Gaza right now.
Yeah.
He's working.
Yes.
He's bringing victories. There's casualties of war and there's victories.
Yes.
Even in this war in Gaza. Okay. And I'm sure in the other wars around the world, there's victories. We may not know about them all. We hear just the terrible things, but there's victorious things too.
That's right.
And only the Lord can bring beauty from the ashes of war like that. Only he can do that. And right now we're going to hear a powerful testimony of eternal victory in the midst of war. So you know what time it is?
It's time for the Faith Report.
Amen. Welcome to the Faith Report, bringing you stories of faith, hope, and love from believers all over the world. Now here's Faith.
Shalom, Havarim. My name is Faith Hope Lavelle, and in today's top story, Hamudi was born and raised in the Gaza Strip. On September 30th, just 7 days before the war between Israel and Hamas, Hamudi called the Tree of Life evangelistic hotline in Israel and spoke with Roger, an Arab believer. I saw your website and appreciated the content. I wish I could come and live there in Israel too. Roger thought to himself, Hamudi's idea of moving to Israel isn't feasible because of the security concerns, but what can stop him from moving to know the God of Israel? And so Roger began to sow seeds, speaking with Hamudi about the God of Israel and sharing about Jesus, Yeshua. Hamudi acknowledged that Yeshua is a man of peace and a gift from God, but Roger explained that he is so much more than a prophet, and in him is the salvation of our lives from sin and death. Roger shared about the supernatural conception of Jesus, and that Jesus himself is the Word of God, something that is usually rejected by Muslims, but is surprisingly referenced in the Quran. Then he shared the beautiful stories of the miracles that Yeshua performed and the love he showed to others. He explained how all the other prophets had fallen into sin at some point, except for Yeshua. And because he is sinless and died for our sins in our place, then rose from the dead, he can grant us forgiveness and offer us an eternal life. Hamudi was listening intently. Roger was delighted that the seeds were falling on good soil, and asked Hamudi if he would like to repent of his sins and receive Yeshua as his Lord and Savior. And right then, Hamudi prayed to receive Jesus and said to Roger, I feel a real comfort and peace on the inside. The two continued talking over the next few days, and Roger contacted him once again on October 10th, just days after the October 7th massacre that led to the war in Gaza. Hamudi described in distress and sadness that the missiles were landing everywhere and sent a picture he took of the destruction that surrounded him. Hamudi was in tears. Those who are suffering the most from this situation are the civilians. Hamudi then used a term that Muslims seldom use, calling God Al-Rab, which means Lord. And he prayed that Al-Rab would protect those in Israel as well as Gaza. Hamudi also reported that there were many Gazan civilians trying to evacuate from the north of Gaza according to the IDF's commands to evacuate the area, as they had received leaflets urging them to evacuate to the south of the Gaza Strip, but that Hamas wasn't allowing them to leave, since it wants to use them as human shields. Hamudi painted in words the chaos and carnage, and shared that as they were talking, the buildings around him were collapsing after being hit by missiles. He trembled. At any moment, I might die. Roger tried to contact a friend from the Gaza area to help Hamudi find safety, but wasn't able, and so he encouraged Hamudi to pray Psalm 91 every day, and shared the powerful psalm as a song for Hamudi to listen to. I'm praying for you, and for all the innocent people there, Roger said. This was the last conversation Roger would have with Hamudi. Roger tried to reach out to Hamudi more over the next few weeks without success. He was worried something had happened to him and began to check his Facebook profile. And then he saw it. Under Hamudi's post, he saw his friends had written posts remembering him. Rest in peace, 10/18/2023. After the passing of Hamudi, Roger wept and was left with a bittersweet feeling. He tried to find a way for him to escape, to help him. But even though he couldn't help him in that way, he helped save Hamudi's eternal spirit. By God's grace, he was able to connect him to a place where there is no more suffering or pain, away from the anguish in Gaza. And what a joy it is to know that Hamudi is in a joyful, peaceful, and loving place, in the arms of his Savior, Yeshua. That's the story of Hamudi from Gaza.
Wow, that is such a powerful testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, just how God was going before things, even before the war, preparing yeah. his heart to come to find salvation. Yeah. And, you know, it's like I heard somewhere the other day that we believe, and as believers, we know God is working down in Gaza.
Oh, right there.
And right there.
That's just one.
That's just one. And there's more.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are coming to salvation in Yeshua down in Gaza. We heard about several testimonies already since the war. So we just know that no matter what's happening, that God is working it together for good. And there's going to be fruit. There's going to be salvations. There's going to be souls saved through this whole terrible war.
That's right. So
we talked about war. What is it good for? It's not absolutely nothing.
No.
You know, because think about that. Hamoudi, right there. Mm. Right?
Wow.
I mean, he's living in a war zone and he's surrounded by death. And in his heart, he's desiring life. And then he hears the gospel. It was able to go into Gaza and he contacts them.
Yeah.
The brethren at Tree of Life, Israel.
Mm, yes.
He contacts them and they minister to him, right? And so the Lord won the war in his life.
That's right.
He's no longer, he stopped being an enemy of God, became a friend of God, was not at war with God anymore, found peace in Yeshua, right?
Yeah.
Put up the white flag.
That's right.
So there is victory that comes out of war.
Yes, there is.
So there is good that can come out of war, out of these terrible things. There is good.
Yeah, there is. Right.
So, of course, war, all of this fighting is a result of sin, right? Mm. But the Lord is the one who is in the midst, mighty to save.
That's right.
Amen. You know, so, but when things start shaking in people's lives and there's desperation, people start crying out to God.
Mm.
He can get victories in the midst of war.
Amen. Well, we just want to thank all of our listeners once again for joining us for another episode of Spirit of Adoption Radio. If this episode has blessed you or encouraged you, please feel free to share it with those that you love and care about. And we would love to also, if you could give us a 5-star review on the listening platform of your choice, it also helps us to get this into the hands of more people so that more people can hear the gospel.
Amen. And remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He has everything under control. So look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And may the Lord bless you as you seek him today. Maranatha.
Thanks for listening to Spirit of Adoption Radio. You can reach us through our website, adoptionairfare.com. Also, please subscribe and leave us a review on the listening platform of your choice. Lord willing, we'll see you next time. Maranatha.